G'day, this is Pastor Les Gomes from Transformers Christian Church. It's our desire that the message you're about to hear encourages you and helps you identify some valuable insights about your life and situation. As you listen to this message, it's really important that you think about how you can put what you learn into action. The only way you're going to see your life transformed is by putting the things you've learned to work. The Bible says we need to hear the word and also do it. Now, let's get into today's message.
Praise God. Well, if you have your Bibles, have a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Yep, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Give me an oi when you're there. Actually, I might just read a couple of verses leading into that, just so you get an idea of the context in which it's written. So we'll start from verse 11. We'll start. Read it from the New King James Version. All right. What man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So I want you to notice in verse 11, it says, what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? And then it finishes in verse 14 and says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So I want you to notice in this passage, it's comparing two types of people. There's a natural man, and that's talked about in verse 14, but there's a spiritual man. Verse 11 talks about what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man. So there's a spiritual man and there's a natural man. And I want to talk to you today about what it means to move in the Spirit. And the first thing you need to understand is that there are two types of people. Now, there's a traditional view to interpreting, like verse 14 when it says, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. There's a traditional view, and this is the view I was taught, and I think most people are taught this. And they taught like the natural man is the man who's not born again. The natural man is the person that doesn't understand the things of God because they're not connected with Christ. And then the spiritual man is the born again man. And certainly there's some truth to that. I'm not trying to say that that's wrong at all. That there is certainly a way of looking at that scripture and seeing, yeah, okay, obviously the person who's not born again won't understand the things of God compared to someone who is born again. But I've also come to discover that there's another way of looking at this scripture. And that's what I want to bring out particularly today, and we're going to go into next week. I want to talk about moving in the Spirit. And so there's an alternative view. And the alternative view to that is that you are a natural man, but you are also a spiritual man. A natural man interacts with the natural realm. A spiritual man interacts with the spiritual realm. And you have both of those. You possess both of those. You are a natural physical man, a physical being. There are two realms of existence. There's the natural realm and there's also the spiritual realm, or I like to call it the supernatural realm, but same thing, spiritual, supernatural. The reason why I say supernatural, or the reason why I prefer that, is because supernatural means above and beyond. Super is above and beyond, so supernatural is above and beyond the natural. But when we talk about that, we're talking about the spiritual realm. The natural realm is not evil. It's not bad. If you were not a natural being, you could not live on planet Earth. Your body is your ticket for staying on Earth. That's why it's important to look after your body. Some people don't look after their body. They're not good stewards. Well, then you will run into trouble. If you continually abuse your body and you're not looking after it, not caring for it, not conscious about the sort of things you're eating and exercising regularly. And I'm not trying to preach to anyone, because I've made some big mistakes. I have got a lot more conscious of how to look after myself, because I'm here for the long run. Hey, I'm in this for the long haul. Joy is not dead. Joy is alive. But she cannot function on the earth any longer because her body stopped working. If your body stops working, you won't cease to exist. You just can't function on the earth anymore. You'll just move location. Now, Joy's not complaining about it. She's having an awesome time. Hey. But there is a natural realm and there is a spiritual realm. The natural realm is governed by natural laws. There are natural laws. The law of gravity is a natural law. There are laws of electricity, laws of electromagnetism, laws of buoyancy. The law of buoyancy, understanding the law of buoyancy, enabled them to make things out of metal and cause them to float. How can you get something that's made out of metal and it floats? Yet you've got these massive cargo vessels that you can stack up with all sorts of things and take it to the other side of the world via the ocean. It's understanding the laws of buoyancy that you're able to do that. And so there are natural laws that govern the natural realm. Hey, the natural realm is discerned by natural senses. You have natural senses: taste, touch, sight, sound, smell. Those five natural senses enable you to interact in this natural realm. If you did not have any of those five senses, there is nothing you could do. That's why demons are so frustrated, and that's why demons want to possess. Because they're spiritual beings in a natural world. They have no way of expressing themselves. And so they want to possess someone with a physical body that they can have an expression on the earth. And so your natural senses enable you to interact. If you didn't have any of those five senses, you could not interact with anybody, even if you were alive. Let's say you were a vegetable, you know, and you were without those senses, then there's nothing you could do. Hey. And you can manipulate the natural realm with your natural man, right? You can't manipulate this natural realm. That's what I mean about demons. Demons can't manipulate the natural realm unless they've got a body that they can inhabit. Well, the spiritual realm is very similar. All right? So the spiritual realm is governed by spiritual laws. Just like we've got natural laws, we've got spiritual laws. I've got a whole series that at the right time, I will go on and preach on it. It would be worth your while to ask the Holy Spirit to teach you about spiritual laws, because there are spiritual laws, just like there are natural laws. And not knowing that they exist and choosing not to believe that they exist will not stop them from operating in your life. When Joel was 9 months of age, he didn't understand the law of gravity. He wasn't even aware of the law of gravity, but that didn't mean that it didn't work in his life. And so when he stepped off our back balcony, and we lived in a high set house, the law of gravity worked, and he broke his thigh bone, but we thank God that that's all there was to it. Hey, and so there are natural laws, and if you play in the natural realm and you don't understand these natural laws, you can, like Joel, injure yourself, you know. But there are spiritual laws too. And they're working in your life. And they're working in my life. Right? And it's to your advantage to identify what they are, understand how they work, because you can make them work for you. You know, that's how we get electricity. Someone understood the laws of electricity and harnessed the power, and then we can just flick a switch and we get it. Someone who doesn't understand the laws of electricity could electrocute themselves if they're playing around with it, not understanding. And so there are spiritual laws that are working. Hey, and this is how you can tell if you understand spiritual laws or not. If you find yourself saying things like, man, why do these things happen to me? And they're bad things. That's indicative of someone who does not understand spiritual law. They're lacking something. Some understanding, some wisdom in a certain area. Because these things, like if you're seeing there's a pattern of things and they're bad things or they're wrong things and they're happening in your life, it's only because you've released a spiritual law to work. You might not have done it even consciously. And so you can seek God. But anyway, that's a whole other series and I don't want to get into that. I'm just trying to illustrate to you that there are two realms of existence. There is a natural realm and there's a spiritual realm. You are a natural man and you are a spiritual man. You need your natural man to function in this natural world. You would not be able to function in this world without that. And you need your spiritual man to function in the spiritual world. And the spiritual world is governed by spiritual laws. They're discerned by spiritual senses. I'll talk a little bit more about that in a little bit. Where is that? Oh, yeah. And you can manipulate the spiritual realm with your spiritual man. Right? And this scripture that we started with, and particularly verse 14, is what I wanted to really bring to your attention. It says, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. When you are trying to solve a spiritual problem with your natural man, you will just get into all sorts of frustration. How's that going to work? That's stupid. What are we going to do that for? It's not going to happen. Somebody even may tell you what the answer is. And it'll seem, if you stay in the natural man, your natural man will go, nah. As if. What, you want me to pray and that's just going to do something, is it? What's that going to do? That's a meathead. That's someone who's living in the natural realm and trying to use the natural man to solve a spiritual problem. Hey, your natural man is important. You can't drive a car without the natural man. You can't cook a meal without the natural man. How do you listen to music? It's the natural man. You'll put on some music and it's through your ears, through that physical sense of hearing that you're able to enjoy the music. How do you read a book? It's using the natural man. How do you taste a new dish of food? I got inspired last week with that pea and ham soup. It was amazing. If you tried it, all the soups were amazing, hey, every one of them. And but Carol's pea and ham soup was really, really good, hey, and I got inspired. So I made a pea and ham soup yesterday. Oh boy, it was nice. Not up to your level, though, but it was still good. A natural man will use natural means to do natural things. A spiritual man uses spiritual means to do spiritual things. And I'll go into more detail. I'm going to go into more detail today, but I'll share even greater specifics next week when we look at it. But if you want to affect things in the spirit, and this is where it's so important, because the spiritual realm is a higher realm than the natural realm. But if you want to affect things in the spiritual realm, and many, many times when you affect things in the spiritual realm, it will then flow out into the natural realm. Well, you need to use spiritual means to be able to do that. A person that needs a healing that medicine won't provide is in need of spiritual healing, supernatural physical healing. Christine shared about her back. She'd undoubtedly she'd been to probably many medical experts. They'd probably prescribed her with all sorts of pain medication to try to manage it, but they had no answers on how to cure it. But you tap into the supernatural, and all of a sudden, you're tapping in and manipulating something that is a higher order than the natural, and you pull out of that into the natural something that there is no natural solution. Financial provision. You can receive supernaturally. God, just let me clear this up. God does not counterfeit money. All right? Money's not going to fall from heaven in a bag, you know, like on your doorstep. But you can manipulate the spiritual realm with the spirit man, and you can cause a flow of finances to manifest in your life. I know it because I've experienced it multiple times. Doesn't just appear, but you can change things, and you can use your spirit man to do that. Hey, leading a person to Christ, if it's a genuine conversion, it's interacting with your spiritual man and presenting spiritual truth, building spiritual maturity in other people. You can only do that through the spiritual man using spiritual means. Well, okay, if a spiritual man uses spiritual means to interact the spiritual realm, what are the spiritual means? If you don't know what the spiritual means are, how can you use your spirit man? See, I can do things. I can pick this bottle up and hold it in my hand. I can't do that with my spirit man. I need my natural man to do that. Well, there are things in the spirit that you need to be able to do to affect things in the spirit, and it'll benefit you. And it's understanding, firstly, you are a spirit being. You are a spiritual man. It's like Julia was talking about something that I've often said. People are trying to be more spiritual through the natural. They're trying to pray more. They're trying to read the Bible more. They're trying to worship more. They're trying to share their faith more. They're trying to do these things. Now, there's nothing wrong with any of those things, but they're trying to do it to be more spiritual. You can't be more spiritual than who you really are. If you're born again, Jesus lives within you. You're one with Him. And it's like what Julia was saying that I've often said, how can I try harder to be Les if I am Les? I can't. And understanding this is, it's so important, and believe God with me that I can bring this out, because I want you to see this. This is so exciting. This can revolutionize your life. Hey, this stuff works in every area. It works in the area of physical healing, in finances, in peace, in wisdom, in every single situation. But the first thing is, you need to recognize you are both. You are a natural man and you are a spiritual man. You don't need to try to be spiritual. You already are. If you're born again, you already are holy. You already are blameless. You already are above reproach. You may not be living blameless. You may not be living holy, but you don't do things in order to be holy. You understand, I am holy. And when you see that, you begin to live holy. You don't try to do things in order to be righteous. You understand, I am righteous. It's so simple, but if you meditate on this, you will never have another problem with addiction. A person who struggles with an addiction, whatever that addiction is, whether it's pornography or drinking or whether it's smoking or whatever it is a person who doesn't understand who they are in Christ. When you realize, I am a child of God, I am one with Christ, there is no difference between me and Jesus, the Anointed One, in the spirit realm. When you see that, you meditate, and the way to see it is by meditating on it. And the more you begin to see that, the greater the reality of that, the less the problems in your life will afflict you. They will shrink, because you realize what? This is something that's trying to hold on to me? What is this? This is nothing. I got resurrection power in me. I am holy. I don't need to do anything in order to be holy. I am holy. And the knowledge of that begins to flow out from your spiritual man, and it begins to affect your natural man, and it begins to affect the way you think and the way you behave. But there are spiritual means that your spirit man uses. So what are some of these spiritual means? I've got a number of them listed down. I don't know if this is exhaustive. It could be, but I'm not claiming that it is exhaustive, but I think it's probably pretty close to everything that I'm aware of anyway. What are the spiritual means? Well, one spiritual means is your words. Your spirit man can affect the spirit realm through your words. That's why the Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue. Your words, and you know, I don't need to sort of say a lot because we looked at that in great detail last week, didn't we? Almost every session was just building on the previous session where we were looking at the tremendous significance of your words. Your words can pull things out of the spirit realm into the natural realm, hey? And so if you're someone that's just constantly talking defeat and depression, well, your words are framing your world, hey? And there's nothing your spirit man can pull out. Even like John and Shirley were sharing last week, your angels are empowered through your words. If your words are constantly just things that are just speaking of your powerlessness, your helplessness, then your angel can do nothing. In fact, if you're constantly speaking defeat and your powerlessness, you're not empowering your angel, you're empowering the enemy. You're giving him legal right. If you're going things like, man, my back is killing me. Really? Or this pain won't go away, or this irritation, or this rash is still here. If you're speaking those things out, you are not empowering your angel. We're talking about how do you affect the spiritual realm, its spiritual means. And the first one we're identifying is your words. Your words are a spiritual means for your spirit man to affect the spiritual realm to your advantage. Now, another spiritual means is your faith. It's not enough just to say words. Words are important, but it's the words you say that you believe. And that's an important distinction. There's some people that sort of like, they get really legalistic, like, well, boy, you know, like, it's like no one's even allowed to joke around. It's like, oh boy, you better watch what you're saying. It's not your words that have the power, but it's when you believe what you say. Remember, that's what Jesus said? Whoever says to the mountain, be taken up and be cast into the sea, and doesn't doubt in his heart, but he believes what he says, will come to pass. He will have whatever he says. If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and you believe in your heart, it's not just the confession, but it's the believing. It's believing what you're saying. All right, so let's not get legalistic and we can't even joke around about things. But your faith is something, a spiritual means that you can use to, your spirit man can use to affect the spiritual realm. Hey, the promises of God are another tremendously powerful spiritual means. Remember what Micah was sharing last week in, I think it was the tithes? You were sharing from 2 Peter that it's the promises of God that cause us to become partakers of the divine nature. So when you begin to use the promise of God and you just say, you know what, that's what God said to me, that's what I choose to believe. Hey, and it doesn't matter what anybody else is saying. People could be coming up to you and say, come on, just get a reality check. Like, it's just not going to happen. Like, how is that going to happen? You don't need to know how. You can just say, I don't know how it's going to happen, but that's what God said to me. That's what I choose. You are now accessing a spiritual means to manipulate the spiritual realm. Praying in tongues is another really powerful way to access the spiritual realm. It's a spiritual means by which you can change things. Hey, scripture says we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery when we pray in tongues. And so it's important. And your spiritual senses. I kind of mentioned this just in passing a few minutes ago, but your spiritual sense, you have spiritual senses. Some people live as if they have no spiritual sense. But you've got spiritual senses. Just like you've got natural eyes, you've got spiritual eyes. Do you remember when Elisha and his servant was surrounded? I think it was the Syrians that surrounded them. And the servant was freaking out. The servant came out to, I don't know, do something to the mules or the donkeys and saw the hills just, and it saw all these soldiers, enemy soldiers, surrounding them. And he ran in freaking out, saying to Elijah, "We're gone. We are dead meat. Like, we're surrounded." Like, and what did Elisha do? He prayed that God would open the eyes of his servant. What was his servant looking around like this? No, there's a natural man and there's a spiritual man. His servant was just looking with the natural man. And Elisha said to him, "You don't need to be worried. There's more for us than there's against us." And the servant's going, "There's only you, me, and the mules here." I'm like, "What do you mean there's more for us?" And he prayed and he asked the Lord to open his eyes. What's he talking about? Spiritual eyes. You've got spiritual eyes. Don't just look at the situations in your life through your natural eyes. How many people make terrible decisions because they're just making everything based on their natural man? You've got a spirit man that can help you avoid disasters in your life. You need to connect with that and use that. Open your spiritual eyes and don't just look with your natural eyes. You've got spiritual ears. You know, just like you've got natural ears, you've got spiritual ears, hey? Jesus said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." What, were there some people there that didn't have holes in the side of their head? You could turn around, "No, he's not talking to you, mate." He's talking about spiritually. You know, some of you are hearing this and you're getting bored, and there's others of you, it's like figuratively you're on the edge of your seat and you go, "Come on, keep going." Because some of you are hearing with more than just this. And there's others that are just thinking about natural things. You have a spiritual nose. You have a spiritual sense of smell. You know, there are fragrances and odors in the spirit. Poverty has a smell. I've smelt poverty. Hey, it's horrible. You cannot convince me that poverty is of God. These people who think that they're godly and take an oath of poverty, chastity and poverty and all these other things, that is demonic. I don't care. They may love the Lord with all their heart, but what they're doing is demonic. Poverty is not of God. I defy you to show me in the scriptures where it is. Especially when we read that Jesus, though he was rich, yet he became poor, that we through his poverty might become rich. But I'm talking about you have spiritual senses. You've got a spiritual nose. I've smelt poverty, hey. I don't always smell it. I don't like to smell it. But I have smelt it on some people, and it's a horrible thing. It's a terrible thing. You actually carry a fragrance. The scripture calls it the fragrance of Christ. And when you walk as who you're meant to walk, to the believers, you're a fragrance of life. But to the non-believers, you're a fragrance of death. Hey, because you remind them that they will be accountable one day. And God's will is not for them to perish, but if they don't make a choice, they will. So you've got spiritual eyes, spiritual ears, spiritual nose. You've got spiritual hands. It's a sense of touch and feel. There are things at times that you can feel in the spiritual realm. You've got also a spiritual tongue. Yeah, taste and see that the Lord is good. How do you taste? It's a spiritual taste, hey? You've got a spiritual mind. You've got the mind of Christ. That's different to your mind. When the Bible talks about a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, what it's saying is that your natural mind is no longer agreeing with the mind of Christ in your spirit. That's the double-mindedness. The power only flows when your natural mind agrees with the mind of Christ. the mind of your spirit. That's when you're single-minded. And that's when the power begins to flow. And faith can be functioned. Faith can be released. Hey, Joel, would you just come out here? You shared this on Wednesday, but I'd just like you to just share it just quickly, just in a minute or less. What happened on Wednesday? What were you feeling? Remember Wednesday before home group, you were feeling certain things on your body, certain symptoms and things?
Wednesday before home group, I started to get sick. I felt the symptoms like my stomach, I felt weird, and head fluey, and I wasn't anything serious, like I was on diet or anything, I just started to get crook. And so I'm starting to get some symptoms. And he just sort of went, oh, want me to pray for you? I said, like, I'd love for you to pray for me. He prayed for me, and it was just like instant, I was done, I was good. I went to home group, 100%. It was so quick I didn't even realise it. Like, I don't know if that makes sense, but yeah, it was just, those symptoms just left instantly. It was awesome.
Praise God. Now, the reason I wanted him to share it is because these truths are things that I've been meditating on just in preparation for Sunday. And when he shared it, there was an anger that rose up within my spirit, you know. And as a parent, we're celebrating Mother's Day today, but, you know, even as a father, you know, like, as a parent, you love your children. It's very hard to tell someone who's not a parent about what your children mean to you and what you'd be willing to do. I think I would be very surprised. There probably are some people who are like this, but I think the vast majority of parents would do anything for their children. That doesn't mean you should do anything for your children. Hey, there's some parents that actually do too much for their children, and they're actually sowing the seeds of destruction in their own children. That is another whole thing. I don't want to go down that. But there was something in me when Joel was talking and he was saying, oh, you know, I'm feeling really sick, you know, I've just got these symptoms coming on me. And so there was an anger that rose up, but also a love from a parent perspective. But I've been meditating on this. There's a natural man and there's a spiritual man. And I just saw myself, I just thought, you know what, I'm going to use my spirit man, I'm going to use the spirit, my spiritual means, I'm going to pull this thing off him. Hey, I saw myself doing that. So I said to him, can I pray for you? I needed his permission to be able to do that. And so I said, can I pray for you? And that's what I was doing. I wasn't doing something in the natural. See, people are trying to do spiritual things with their natural man. That's when you're going to have trouble. That's when the scripture says the natural man doesn't understand the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness. Get in the Spirit. Use the spiritual means you've got. I've listed the ones that I'm aware of. I'm pretty sure that that's all of them, but there could be others. Use those things, spiritual hands. Use them. You've got natural hands to pick up things, to build things, to cook things, to read a book. You've got spiritual hands. You can use your spiritual hands to grab things in the spiritual realm. You can use your mouth to change things in the spirit realm and it'll manifest in the natural. You can't use natural means to solve spiritual problems. If you're trying to pray more in order to get a healing, you're trying to do it with the natural man. Hey, am I saying don't pray? No, I'm not saying that at all. But understand what you're doing. It's not like God saying, well, okay, once you've confessed this scripture 975 times, I'm going to turn the valve, hey, and it's going to start flowing. Really, you only need to say the word of God or the promise of God once to affect it. But I'm not trying to say don't confess the word, right? Why would you need to do it 975 times? You do it because as you do it, you're meditating on that promise. And at some point, as you hear and you hear and you hear, faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing. But it's when you finally hear and it sinks into your heart that one time That when it's in your heart and you speak it out, that's the one time. It's not the 970. The 975 was just to bring you to the place where your faith is open now. Your mind is no longer blocking it. Your mind's no longer saying, oh, this is not going to happen. How's this going to happen? Your mind's saying yes, just like your spirit's saying yes. And then you say it. Can you see what I'm saying? So don't try to do things with your natural man to solve a spiritual problem. You can start in the natural, but your objective is to get into the spiritual realm. And you can use your words for that. I hope I'm making that clear. So let me try to give you some illustrations about this. I've shared this before. A number of years ago, Micah, he had an infection on his knee and it began to pus up and the whole area around his knee just became red. You could see, you know, when an infection gets there and it's all red and it's spreading. And there was, you know, like a big kind of like bubbles of pus there. And anyway, he just said, you know, he came to Joy and I and he said, my knee's really hurting. And so we prayed for him. We cursed it. We commanded it to be gone. And it went. Within 24 hours, it went. And then a couple of days later, it flared up again. So anyway, when it flared up again, we took him to the doctors. The doctor had a look at it and said to him, that's an infection. And we said, we know. And he said, I'll give you some antibiotics for that. And so he gave him some antibiotics. He took the antibiotics and it went. And when he finished the antibiotics, a few days later, it flared up again. Pussed up, red again, painful. So then we took him back to the doctors. And the doctor said, well, obviously I didn't give you a long enough course. You need a longer course. So he prescribed him another course of antibiotics, a different one, and made it a longer, you know, where he had to take it for a few weeks. He did that, the thing disappeared. Right? All the redness went, all the pain went. And when he finished the course of antibiotics, within a few days, it came back again. See, we're trying to solve, there was a spiritual problem. And we were trying to solve this spiritual problem using a natural means. Even when we started, we just used our faith to start with, and it went. But obviously, we didn't get it at the root. Sometimes something has a spiritual root. And if you want to stop the fruit, you kill it at the root. You ever had a weed or something that you didn't pull it out by the roots? You know, and it just comes back again, doesn't it? And that's what was happening. So that's what I could see. I could see, okay, there's something deeper here. This infection is only indicative of something deeper that's going on. So I went to the Lord and I said, well, what's the problem here? What's the root? And he showed me a student, a friend of Micah's from school. So I went to Micah and I said, what's happening between you and so-and-so? And he looked at me sheepishly and he goes, nothing? And I said, well, something's happening and I believe it's linked to your healing. And I said, whatever it is, you need to sort it out. And so anyway, later he did come and he sort of fessed up to Joy and I that he'd been holding a grudge against this person. This person had really disappointed him in some areas and he'd been holding it. There was a spiritual infection. The manifestation was a physical infection, but the root was a spiritual one. And so he confessed that before God, and he released that person and applied forgiveness. And within, what was it? Was it a day or 2 days? Within 1 day, the infection completely disappeared from his knee. He's never had a sign of it since. Right? What am I trying to say? How many people are trying to solve a spiritual problem with the natural man? I shared a few months back about a friend of mine, Ray Hanna. Great man of God. Man anointed by God. He has seen extraordinary things in Sudan. God began to open up the nation to him. He began to hold meetings. And his meetings went from hundreds to thousands to tens of thousands to hundreds of thousands. This is a guy that lives in Redcliffe. It just exploded because one day somebody, a father brought onto the stage. Ray did not know this was going to happen. A father brought onto the stage his 12-year-old daughter who had died that morning. And he walked onto the stage and he put, now, I mean, the meeting's already grown to thousands upon thousands, but he put the girl's body into Ray's hands. Ray didn't know what was going on. He didn't even know she was dead. But as soon as the body touched Ray, she woke up. And when news of that spread, it just spread rapidly. And his meetings went from thousands upon thousands to hundreds of thousands. Hey, it came to the attention of the South Sudanese government. They called him and they had appointments with him. The president and the prime minister of Southern Sudan got on their knees and they asked Ray, put your hand on us and pray for us. And they began to use him as an advisor. They then, a little while after that, there was an issue that began to spring up. You can Google this for yourself. It's called nodding disease. It began to spread throughout southern Sudan and parts of northern Uganda and Tanzania, but just to this particular region. And the World Health Organization from the United Nations was called in. They had the top doctors, microbiologists, psychologists flown in to investigate Nodding's disease. Now, let me tell you what Nodding disease is. Their children, it looked like, were going crazy. They were having all sorts of seizures and fits. They were doing things, irrational things, trying to hurt themselves, trying to hurt others. And as a last resort, parents were tying their children up to trees, because if they had them untied, these children would hurt themselves or hurt someone else. The United Nations sent in the World Health Organization, and you could Google this. There is no cure for nodding disease. Why? Because they're trying to solve a spiritual problem with natural means. Finally, in desperation, the Prime Minister of Southern Sudan called Ray and said, do you think you know what it is? Do you think you know what? Could you come? Can you help us? No one has an answer. Ray was at a conference that my church was hosting, and so he came to all of us and he said, I need your prayers. He said, they're desperate. They don't know what to do. They want to fly me. They've asked me to come out and... they've asked for me to do, and he said, I've never even heard of this disease. I don't know what it is. And so we just prayed with him, and we prayed for him. And he went there, and God gave him revelation. He saw this is a spiritual problem. And he went from village to village, untying these children from trees and setting them free. Hey, because he began to deal with the root, the spiritual root. You can't use natural means to solve spiritual problems. You have a spirit man, and it's your spirit man that can manipulate the spiritual realm to affect things. How valuable would it be to move in the spirit? How valuable would it be to be able to function with your spirit man? I wonder what value you could put on it, hey? Because a person that's moving in the spirit, there's a number of things you can tell. Number one, they're very stable. A person that understands how to move in the Spirit, they are stable in their life. Scripture says, the man who fears the Lord and delights in His Word is not easily shaken. He's not moved by evil tidings. Why? Because he understands there's more than just what he sees. There's more than what his physical senses tell him. There's a God he can't see who loves him dearly and will never abandon him, never leave him, never forsake him. When you're moving in the Spirit, you're not just looking with your natural senses, hey? So let me just, you know, like you've got natural senses, you need to use them, right? But you're not just using them. What is Proverbs chapter 3, verse 4, 5 and 6 say? Anybody know? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's right. And lean not on what? Notice it doesn't say don't use your own understanding. It's talking about the natural man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's your spiritual man. And don't lean on your natural man, your own understanding. It doesn't say don't use it. You need to use your natural man. Otherwise, you can't function in this world. But don't lean on it. There are times that I'll need to make a decision and I'm looking at it and I'm weighing it all up with my natural man. I'm thinking I'm going to do that and I get a check from my spiritual man. Like when I was in New York in January and I caught the wrong subway. And it was like -2 degrees. It was a cold day. I got a wonderful jacket though. God bless me with this awesome jacket. So I kept nice and cozy and warm. But I'm the wrong subway, so I'm waiting for the next subway station to get off and get back on track. Anyway, as we get going, this guy stands up in the carriage and he says, "Can I just have everyone's attention?" And so I just look up and I look at him and he said, "Look," he said, "I am not in the habit of doing this." He said, "I'm actually really embarrassed about doing this." He said, "I'm not a beggar. I don't believe in begging. I don't like to beg." He said, "But it is really, really cold." And he goes, "And I've got no shoes." And I looked and he had no shoes on. And it was like metal grating on, you know, like parts of it was lino and part was metal. And he's standing on the metal. I'm thinking like, man, it's cold, -2. And he said, I'm really cold. He said, I just need $20 so I can go buy myself a pair of sneakers. He said, I'm just wondering, he said, would anybody be willing to give me $1 or $2? He said, anything would help. He said, look, he said, anyway, that's all I'm going to say. He said, God bless you all. He said, have a good day. He said, I'm not going to say anything more. And he said, man, my heart went out to him. And I'm just reaching for my wallet. I'm going to give him $5, you know, like, and just help. And as I'm thinking that, immediately my spirit man rose up and it was this check. Don't do that. It was so clear, so stark, that it was like, it caught me by surprise. It was like, what? And so I began to pray. I said, God. And the Lord was really firm. He said, don't do it. I said, but look, God, look. Look at him. He's got no shoes. Don't ever base decisions on your emotions. Too many people make decisions. Oh, I feel so bad for them. Do you know Christians are the number one problem with the begging epidemic that's in so many cities? This is not my opinion. This is what a Christian leader said in Colorado. Andrew Warmick was talking with him and said, what do you think is the major problem? He said, I'll tell you straight off. He says, it's Christians. He goes, if the Christians stop giving these people, because these people have support structures in place, they could make use of these things and get out of their situation. He said, but it's the Christians, because they're moved by their emotions and they end up giving. And he said, the average beggar in Colorado makes $350 a day. Why would he want to get a job? But it's not just with beggars. As a parent, you don't want to be basing your decisions on your emotions. You're going to help your child because you feel bad? Seek God. Begin to operate with the spirit man and not just with the natural man. And base your decisions. There are some things you can do that might look like you're helping your child, but it actually sets them back. It gives them, and I've seen this. I've seen some kids who've just got everything from their parents. And it's just made them more dependent on their parents. And it's so important. I'm not saying don't help your parents. As a parent, I want to bless and I want to help. But you know, one of the best decisions I ever made was when Micah and Joel couldn't find a job. And Joy and I made a decision and we said, you go sign up. There was a place called Chandler McLeod. We said, go and sign up. And they said, what's that? And we said, you'll be on standby and different factories will call you in to do work. Man, they look for a job quick smart. They did not want to work in a factory. Don't just look with your natural senses. Begin to function with the spirit man. The scripture says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. It Don't lean on your own understanding. Be open enough. Well, this guy, so my heart was going out to him because I'm seeing him without any shoes. And yet my spirit man was saying, don't do it. Well, I knew the voice of God, so I said, all right. But I was a little bit annoyed because I really felt bad for this guy. So I said to the Lord, well, it's on you. Hey, not my fault. You told me. Because I felt like I should. And so anyway, I forgot about it, went, had an awesome day in Manhattan, and then I was caught the subway back to Brooklyn, got off at my... Now, this is a different subway. Remember, I caught the wrong one, I was on a different line. This is a different subway. Got off at my stop and got out, and here's the guy, and he's got shoes on, and he's approaching people with another story. Completely different story. Came up to me, trying to tell me. I said, you're the guy that I saw earlier today. And he goes, yeah, can you help me, brother? I am so glad that I listened to the voice of the Lord. Hey, you're not just looking with your natural eyes. Hey, business opportunities. How do you know whether it's a good business opportunity? An investment. How do you know whether it's a good investment? You don't think that the spirit man can discern that? I had an opportunity last year to invest $6,000 in a number of different things. Within 3 months, it grew to $8,500. That's a 560% annual interest rate. That's pretty good. Try that from a bank. I took the 2.5. I needed to pay some things. Then I took the 6. I took all of it, and I took the 2.5 for myself. And I took the 6, and I reinvested it in some other things. That's turned into $10,000 for me. Within 6 months, not quite 560% annual. I think it's about 300-400%, but I'll take that. I wonder how valuable it could be to learn to walk and move in the Spirit and allow God to lead you. Hey, instead of just flailing about in the natural, trying to struggle and make ends meet. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Did you get something out of that?